The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone and water jars for the Jewish rites of and purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief and steward." So they took it. When the steward and tasted the water that had become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone who serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed in his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel and of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. And yes, I have been challenged to see just how short a sermon can be. This is not going to be the time that I'm going to go for that record, but we will see. As John tells this particular story, it is loaded with interesting little details that would point towards other little subplots in this whole thing. It's not just a story about a wedding. It's points to all kinds of other things. For one thing, it is the first of the signs that will be given by Jesus, and it shows a little bit about what Jesus might be up to. It even gives us a picture of, as it were, the stereotypical Jewish mother, who, of course, believes that her son is the wisest person on the face of the earth, and everyone else should just pay attention to her son because, after all, he's her son. We even get some of that here. But as it is, we see that and Jesus is interested in showing the power of God, not in drawing attention to himself as the show. There's no smoke and mirrors here, no hocus pocus, no grand manipulation of the hand and fingers. The hand is faster than the eye. It's just you put the water in, you take the wine out. It's as simple as that. We, of course, if we were going to see a real magician, probably already have figured out how this is going to end up. We see the woman get into the box. We see the magician with a really sharp saw who starts sawing the box apart. And we know this can't happen, and yet it does. And we know at the end of it, she's going to be just fine. And the question really is, how does this take place? When we see a card trick, we know that either the hidden card is going to appear some other place, or if the magician takes a watch and hammers it to pieces with a big hammer and sticks it all in a handkerchief, we know there's going to be a full and complete watch at the end of the show. What we want to know is, how does this happen? Jesus doesn't bother. There's no indication on how this works. The only thing we know is that it does. We would be wise to remember that the works of God are the works of God, and probably way above our pay grade anyway. There's also the question of the jars that are used. Particularly, it is an indication of purification rites. Is this telling us that the work of God is to purify and to renew and to point towards and something and better and life and life-giving? For John, it clearly is. Or how about the question of quality, not quantity? When Jesus does this, this is the best wine that could be imagined. It's interesting, the last place that I served, one of the sons of the founding pastor is like the CEO of San Michel Winery. When they provide wine for an auction, it's pretty good stuff. Jesus provides the best stuff. It's so amazing that the wine steward goes to the bridegroom and says, "How come you did this? You saved the best stuff until last. You wait for that for the you serve the good stuff first, and the not so good stuff after nobody cares anymore." This is an indication that when God does things, God does it very, very well. Although quantity is also an issue. This is a lot of wine. This is not and something that's done in a measuring cup. This is gallons and gallons of this stuff, as if God is saying, "There is no end to my grace." It takes place over and over in overflowing ways. We'll see this again. But perhaps, and for me, the most intriguing thing is that this takes place at a wedding, at a marriage. Over the last few years, much has been talked and discussed about in marriage and what it all means, and certainly this is a discussion that will continue. It's tough. It's hard, and there are times that we don't do it very well. I was a little surprised, I suppose, I was 9 or 10 to discover not only that my mother had been married once before, I had no idea, but I also had sisters that I didn't even know about. Yet at that point, it was still the kind of thing, "We don't talk about this." Now, of course, everybody talks about it because we've all been affected. We've all been touched. It's in our family or our good and trusted friends and all of these things. And yes, it's difficult. Things we do to ourselves and to our loved ones at times prove to be destructive to these bonds that are intended. But that does not take away from the fact that this is God's gift. For all of the marriages that I have conducted, and there have been quite a few, and certainly not the record, but I've done my share. Not once has there ever been a lack of enthusiasm or confidence or hope in the future that you could just see on the face of the young couple and sometimes the older couple. I've done a few that have been well advanced in age who finally find that particular one, and they are just as much excited as the young ones are. I think that the fact that this is the first sign is God in some way saying, yes, it should be that much fun to follow Jesus. That God does intend that life be full and abundant. I came that you might have life, and not just a little life, but full and abundant and overflowing and full of potential for blessing day after day. It was at the first and wedding where we find God's blessing as well. There were no ceremonies, no wine to be seen, but and certainly there was joy. God brings the young woman to Adam, and he says, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. One that I can relate to. One who will help me to be more than I am now. One who will help me when I might not live alone." That is indeed a great gift. For all of the problems that we face, it is still God's gift. And here it is seen as a foretaste of something greater. That in this first sign that Jesus gives, it is a sign of blessing and love and new life. All of these things are going to be seen time and time again, and certainly in the Gospel of John, but in our own lives as well, that God intends to give us rich and wonderful lives and blessings, no matter in what circumstance we find ourselves. And yes, it is intended to be full and rich. Amen.